Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Well, today is a big day. It's a big week. February 7th not only launches February, but today as a church, we are launching a few different things. One is we're launching small groups. So those are kicking back. And then also, we're starting a brand new series today. Anybody remember what the name is? Anybody know? No? Yeah? It's on a shirt. It says, Be the Bridge. Yes, so good. Be the Bridge. We're launching a brand new series, and something about this series, honestly, God has been stirring in me for the past few years through this, and really teaching me. God teaches me first and does this in my heart, and my prayer is that the teaching will be the overflow of what God is teaching me. And so, really, this journey started when I was starting in ministry, but really accelerated when we planted a church, because we moved to a new area and we only knew about five people. If you count our kids, maybe like 12, because we got a bunch of kids, but we only knew a certain amount of people. So we had to meet a lot of different people and starting relationships. And I kind of giggle because I remember texting people for the first time. And you got to remember, so me and my wife started dating when we were 15. And so the last time I went on a first date was at 15 years old. And so I remember texting, I say all that, but to say, I remember texting like other people and trying to connect with them. And it's like, this feels like this weird, like first time, like, hey, so what do you like to do? You know, like, what do you guys, what does your family like to do? What do you guys like to hang out? You know, and it's just that initial first step of trying to get to know people and really learning for the first time how to connect. And so that made me laugh. And I think about Be the Bridge and how God has called us to stand in the gap to be His ambassadors, as we'll talk about today. So today, the title of a message is called Why Share? Why Share? We're going to spend the first 2 weeks really laying the foundation of why share? Why do we talk about these things? And the next week, we're talking about really the big how question. How are we saved? What does the Bible say? What does it look like? And then we're going to spend about 3 or 4 weeks really diving into the practical and looking at Jesus' life and the disciples and how He advanced the gospel. And my prayer is, which we'll talk about a little bit, my prayer is that we would see that this series really just, it changes the DNA of how we do life. And sometimes we think about this and think about these kinds of series and we look at it and go, man, I'm going to have to add all of these different things to my life. I'm going to have to add another program or add this outreach strategy kind of thing. But my prayer at the end of this series is for you and I to look back and go, oh, this is how it's just incorporated into everything we do. It's just a part of our DNA. It's a natural overflow of what God is doing in my life. And so as we look at that, but I want to pray for us, ask God just to bless this time. I love to highlight some of our teams every now and then. And one team I want to highlight is our worship and tech team. Can we guys give it up for our worship and tech team? These guys do an incredible job in a church plant. We don't have a ton of resources, but they make it happen. They make it look good. Matt, you guys know him. He leads worship every week, and he really heads both of those up. He does a phenomenal job. You probably noticed since he got here, the screens look better. Our website looks better. Our signs look better. He is the mastermind for all of that. That is not my gift set, but he does a really great job of helping communicate what God is doing. And so we're blessed to have everybody on that team. And James Berry playing the keys, man, I love it. So good being together in that. But I want to pray for us, ask God. We're going to be in Luke chapter 15 is really our base verse today. And then we have a few supporting verses, but Luke chapter 15, we're going to put it on the screens for you as well to read. If you're joining us online, we're so glad you're here. Maybe comment, engage in there. We'd love to hear from you as well as you're a part of this too. But let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, God. Thank you that we get to live in community, that we have this amazing chance to open up your word, to open up your truth. And I pray that you would just speak. I pray that you would guide our hearts, God. I pray that I would decrease so that you may increase. I pray that you would move in our lives so that we can see your heart, God, so that we can know how to follow and pursue your heart and reflect that here in our world. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, Amen. Well, I share this as we talk about this series. I talked about some of this. But I began to notice, especially when I moved here, I love a church planting strategy that really takes in consideration the local context of where you actually live. And so, especially I moved from the suburbs of Atlanta when we got here to the low country. Some people call it the slow country. I wouldn't necessarily go that far, but we come here not necessarily to be moving and grooving, right? Like out and towards Atlanta, it's like, hey, let's make this thing happen. But here, it's a little different strategy. And here's a funny thing is there's a couple people that live in my neighborhood here in the room, so you know what I'm talking about. One of the things that, as I looked at evangelism, and you know, there's different strategies all throughout the years. I mean, you've seen the people standing on the side of the street, and you've seen the people that maybe there was when you grew up in church a while back, maybe you saw people that go door to door and do those kinds of ministries. And as the years have changed, I began to think about, because I don't know about you, but in my neighborhood, if you go to that first door and you knock on it, and it is not something that you're supposed to be there, any kind of solicitation, you're on everybody's camera, you're on a Facebook group, right? You're blown up like, boom, right there. The cops are already called and on the way by the time you get to the second door, right? Like, it's how it is. Welcome to 2021, right? Maybe your neighborhood's like that, but mine is. It's on lockdown, okay? And they will call you out. And so you look at all this, and it's like, we're looking at all of these different strategies. And so I just began to pray, going, God, okay, things have changed. Digital has been introduced. The way we interact with people has changed a little bit. And God, how do we share Jesus? How do we live on mission, but without automatically putting a wall up between me and the other person, right? How do we start off on the right foot where it's not automatically, boom, I'm not even listening, right? Like I'm just completely shut down now. And I begin to pray about that because I think it's a real thing. And as I talk with people and we interact with each other, people would ask this question all the time. It's like, how do I even get to that conversation? How do I even make this happen? And so that's really what birthed this study, that birthed this series. It birthed, what does this even look like? And so that's what we're diving into today. But I really want to talk about, because you and I think we have to answer the question, why first? Why is it important? Why should we even talk about this? What does this even look like? And the amazing thing is that the Bible guides us and directs us. And so today we're looking at a story where Jesus was confronted with this same idea, this same topic, this same way to live his life. And then Jesus, of course, in Jesus fashion, he was asked the question, and then immediately he goes into a story. He goes into a parable and begins to teach on the heart of God and why should we do this. And so when we get to Luke chapter 15, we're actually going to talk about this first parable. Actually, it's the first parable in a chain of parables. He tells three different stories to illustrate God's heart on this topic, but we're just going to look at the first one. And he begins to tell the story. But I want to read this quote to you by Warren Wiersbe, who talks about what a parable is and how God uses a parable. It's pretty incredible. It says, Warren Wiersbe says, I messed his last name up, that a parable starts as a picture, then it becomes a mirror, and finally it becomes a window. First, there's sight as we see the slice of life in the picture. Then there's insight, we see ourselves in the mirror. Then there's a vision as we look through the window of revelation and see the Lord. I thought, wow, that's a beautiful description of what a parable is. This first gives us a picture of this slice of life, of this the way that life happens on this earth. And then it becomes a mirror for you and I to look at our lives and go, wow, okay, now I can see, how does this affect my life? How does this shape and change my heart and life? And then it becomes a window where you and I can, one, see the Lord and saying, this is his heart, this is who he is. But now this is how I can see the world through the lens of Christ, through the lens of God. And so he starts here in Luke chapter 15, verse 1. You guys still with me? Amen. Okay. First verse here, it says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and the teachers of the religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them. Jesus lived his life interacting with people who the religious people looked at their life and thought, wow, They are not holy. They don't even follow God. They don't even try to follow God. But yet Jesus lived his life in a way to where the religious people looked at his life and goes, whew, who are you eating? Like, you're eating, you're dining with, you're hanging out with them. This, what are you doing? You're breaking all kinds of different laws. But Jesus came to fulfill those and show us a new way to live life. And then he continues here in verse 3 as he responds to this. So Jesus told them a story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? And if he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost sheep." In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents, who returns to God, than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. Jesus begins and he teaches this story, this picture, this window of who God is. And he starts his parable and he's saying, oh, you're confronting me about who I'm hanging out with. He said, but let me tell you a story about the essence of who God is. And he uses this because especially he would have used what was around during the times. And he talked about the shepherds and how the shepherds, they would have seen these shepherds in the field working and talking and interacting with the sheep. And they would have known the mindset of a shepherd. And so the shepherd, who was usually employed by one larger master, one larger person who maybe had many shepherds, many flocks to take care of this one particular group of sheep. And so he was responsible for every single sheep to maybe get them from one location to the next, to help them graze, to help them eat their grass, to grow, and then later to be used for whatever necessary, but yet responsible, yet needing to take care of all of those sheep. And he says, if there's 100 sheep and all of a sudden one strays away, what's the shepherd going to do? Oh, count my losses. I still got 99, right? Like there's still a ton here. It says, no. The shepherd is going to leave the flock, leave them in their designated area. They're already secure. They're already right there. And I'm going to turn and I'm going to go after and I'm going to find this one lost wandering sheep. And if something comes to attack, and I'm going to be there to grab it, to try to get it back to the flock. And Jesus shares this. And he wants us to see that picture of the heart of God, that the heart of God, if you're taking notes or taking mental notes, whatever that may be, writing something down on your phone, saving souls is at the heart of God. That he, when this picture shows us that when God sees somebody wandering, his heart is for them to come back to him in relationship with him. For when you and I are running from God, his heart, his desire is to bring them back into relationship with him. He wants us to have that union, and that's the most thing that he wants for you and I, is to have that beautiful window of this beautiful picture. And if we look at this, as Warren Risby says, here are the three different levels, the picture, the mirror, and the window. As I read this, I had to step back in my life and go, okay, if this is the heart of God, is this my heart? Is it my heart to see my community, the low country, the people that I interact with every single day? Is it my heart as well, as I'm looking at the mirror of Scripture and going, okay, if this is who Jesus is and if Christ lives in me through the Holy Spirit, is it also my heart that when I see somebody that is far from God, that my heart is broken to the point where I'm really ready to pursue and to seek and to interact and to connect with them? And as we see that, and then we see this beautiful picture of God. Because if you remember in the famous verse, John 3:16, right? Maybe we can quote it, or all these different things. You've heard it before. If you've watched Tim Tebow, right? We're talking about football today. Hey, don't make fun of my jersey because I got on a Braves baseball jersey, okay? This is all I got. So I just rocked it, okay? As soon as I walked in, Rachel was like, that's a baseball jersey. But that's okay. I like it. Rocking Super Bowl anyway, ADD moment. But as we talk about this particular verse in John 3:16, and we're talking about the heart of God, and it's how do we know that this is who God is? How do we know that this is his heart? And he shows us this. He doesn't just tell us in this parable, but he says, I want you to see who I am, the way I actually live my life. And he says this in John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world, that he gave He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Jesus is saying, if you want to know my expression of love, if you want to know if I love the world, if I love you, if you ever want to know if God loves the world, then all we have to do is look to Jesus. Because we know that his expression of love was to send his only Son so that we could be saved. And in that and through that, every time we read about Jesus, every time we talk about Jesus, every time Jesus comes to our mind, for you and I, it should be an expression of, wow, God loves us that much that he left. Can you just think about being Jesus? I mean, the Genesis tells us he was there. In John, it tells us he was there in the beginning, that everything was created through Jesus. But yet Jesus left heaven and walked this earth, humbled himself, became a baby. I mean, some babies are cute and all, but they're not always cute, right? Like, sometimes they do. Like, the creator of the universe humbled himself to the point to where he said, I'm going to walk the same path that you walked. I'm going to experience the fear. I'm going to experience the pain. I'm going to experience the loss. I'm going to experience the heartache. I'm going to experience all of that. And I'm going to show you the way through it. And because he is the way, the truth, and the life. I mean, if we ever want to know and see and experience who God is, we can always look to Jesus. That he is the expression, and that is God's motivation, because God is love, right? And that's his motivation is because I love you. I want to have that relationship with you. I came for the world that they may accept me, that they may believe me, that they may walk with me. And then he continues on here in the parable, and it says, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over the 99 others of the righteous who haven't strayed away. That he gives us this picture of lens to look through and going, there is joy. Like, God celebrates when people come to know Christ. When people start a relationship with Jesus, when they commit their life to him, they're describing this. And if you read the bottom of Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son, when he comes back, the dad's like, hey, get the best ring. Get the best robe. Get the best clothes. Give me the best food. We are celebrating because my son has come home and heaven rejoices. Get this picture that when we share the gospel, when we connect someone to Jesus, when they start that, heaven is celebrating. The angels are rejoicing. God has this utmost joy. And you and I, we need to have that same joy, that same anticipation. Because when I see these seats in the morning, sometimes we come in and we pray over these seats, because for me, it's not a seat. It's a place where a soul is going to sit. It's a place where a soul is going to have a moment to hear about Jesus. And if they believe and accept him, they will walk in his ways in heaven and all will rejoice. One of our bridge codes for our volunteers, it's just a behavioral thing that we do that we talk about, is that we passionately pursue Jesus. And I love that word, passionately. And I think about it as we worship, and sometimes, like, I'm up here and I'm raising my hands, and my hands kind of going like this, you know, and it's like, what's going on? But for me, like, it's passion. It's this joy. It's this excitement that I get to sing to my Creator. And today we're about to watch a Super Bowl, right? One guy's like 43, but the rest of them are like 20 years old, wearing tight pants and some pads. And I want a chest bump and high five. But for me, I want to celebrate more for a man who left heaven and walked this earth and died on the cross for me. I want to have more passion for that person than I do for those that I see on the screen. So passion is our desire, passion and that joy because of who Jesus is as he walks and interacts with us. And that is the joy, that is the mission, that is the calling that God has invited us all into as Christians. That there's so much this excitement and anticipation that God is saying there is this grand mission. And how amazing is it that God looked at Daniel Kasnev and James Berry and Jordan, like, looked at him, looked at us and go, yes, I want to use you. He looked at those early 12 disciples, these fishermen, these guys who were, the society called them rough around the edges, and I'm not sure if we can even use these guys. The Bible listed them. When they saw these guys preaching, they said, Who are these ordinary, uneducated men, right? Like, that's who they described these disciples as. And God said, ha ha, that's who I want to use to start a movement. That's who I want to use to allow Christianity to go throughout this entire world. How incredible is it? Because you and I know so many times I feel inadequate to be used by God. I've made mistakes, still make mistakes. I say things, I think things, all these different things. And I have to come before God and go, God, can you even use me? God, what does this even look like? And I believe that God knows that about his creation. And so he doesn't leave us on our own to say, well, okay, now you know all of this. Now you know my heart. Good luck. Have fun, right? Like, you got this. So you're going to second guess. But no, he says, no, I'm going to walk with you. In fact, I'm not even going to walk with you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to give you the grace. I'm going to give you the knowledge, all of these different things. And then before Jesus, right before he ascended back into heaven, he has his disciples there, and he gives them this command, this calling, this promise right here in Acts 1, chapter 8. Everybody still good? Amen. Live and well? Very good. We don't need to stand up and do like a tunnel right here, right? Like everybody, yeah. Okay, Acts 1, 8. It says, but you will receive power. You will receive, kids are having fun up there, see? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, through Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. I love this power-packed verse where it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And if you're taking notes, God has given us power and authority to be his ambassadors for the kingdom of God. I love that power, and you will be my witnesses. And I love this word ambassadors, because Paul uses this term here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, so we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. You and I are an ambassador for Christ. He gives us power. The Holy Spirit that dwells in us gives us power and authority. And it's not because of Daniel Cassidy. If I preach about Daniel Cassidy, we are all lost and doomed, right? If I spend all of my time talking about me, it's not going to get us anywhere. But I am an ambassador for the kingdom of God. I am an ambassador. And what I love about ambassadors, I looked up the definition. And it says, and an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. You and I are a selected diplomat for the kingdom of heaven. And God looked at us and said, Dave McNair, whoo, okay, now you are saved, but now you are my ambassador. When you walk into work today on Monday, you are my ambassador. You are my representative for the kingdom of God. What an honor that God looks at us and says, yes, you're my representative on this earth. You're called to reflect. You're called to be. And I love how he uses, when Jesus is talking here, he uses the term witness. And he's saying, look, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to have it all figured out. You're my ambassador. You're my representative. And you're just telling people what you have witnessed. You're just telling people about Jesus. You're sharing what Jesus has done in your life. You're sharing what Jesus has taught us in the Bible. You're sharing how God has saved you and changed you and helped you get onto the path and the calling that he has called you into. And he's saying, I'm inviting you into this. I'm, one, giving you power. But a lot of times we feel inadequate in that. And we feel weak, and we feel, I say we, I do, in that. But God looks at our weakness and says, you know what I can do with that weakness? And he says this, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9, it says, each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power, this is crazy, my power works best in weakness. God is saying, you have weakness, the insecurity, he's like, good. That's where my power works best. Like, that's actually the best breeding ground for you and I to move forward into. So because, the reason is, because when you and I, God does something supernatural and powerful through us, people can't go, oh, Jordan Keeter is amazing. Do you see what happened? You're like, no, I'm weak. Jesus did this through me. The only way this is possible, the only way it's able to happen, the only way it's able to move forward in the way that this looks is because I'm an ambassador for Jesus. Jesus. The Holy Spirit gave me power. I can't believe that. And there's so many times in my life where I've read something in Scripture, and then all of a sudden I'm talking and sharing with someone, and then I'll say something. I'm like, ooh, where did that come from? Right? I didn't have that plan, but the Holy Spirit just brought that up and began to speak that in and through us. And there's so many other different ways that God empowers us, which we'll talk about in the coming weeks. But for us, you and I would encourage you today. I did this in my notes as I was studying this, just to take these words, I am an ambassador, and find it somewhere to write on it today. Maybe you want to put it in your car, put it right there as you walk, drive into work or driving, getting ready to walk into your house. I like to put things on my mirror if you guys have shared that before. But I am an ambassador, right? Like Daniel Casney, boom, I got a new title, right? I got a promotion. You can go to work today. Look, I got a promotion at church on Sunday, right? Like I am an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven. And you and I, whatever vocation that we may have, whatever career, whatever we may be doing on this earth, we also have that higher calling of going, yes, I may be in the military, but yet I work for the King. I may be a stay-at-home mom, but yet I work for the King. I may be a teacher, but yet I work for the King. Whatever my title may be, but yet I work for the King. That is my favorite title that I love to go back to, that no matter what I do, my identity is not wrapped up in my vocation and what I do. My identity is wrapped up in Jesus. My identity is wrapped up in Christ. And I can rest in that hope and that empowerment that He gives us. And so I want to end this way. Last week I went way too long, so I'm going to try to stay on track today. But as we think about this, I just want to end with, as we wrestle through all of these ideas, and I remember the first time I was a newly found, actually just following Jesus for the first time, answering His call and figuring out what this looked like. And I felt like God was leading me to invest in kids who, where we live, there was a youth detention center. And it's kids from ages 13 to 18 that were locked up for a particular period of time, whatever that may look like. And I remember calling it and starting, and there was a group that was already there. They were doing Bible studies. And for that first time, I remember thinking like, oh, I don't even know what to say. Like, this is crazy. But I remember thinking like, okay, if anybody may be ready for a life change, maybe it's these kids who have said, you know what? I made a bad decision or a string of bad decisions. And they need somebody to tell them that, hey, there is hope. There is a different way. There is a different plan. And we were going in every week, and they had the kids, they were broken down into different pods. And so one pod was, I think, like 13 to 15 years old, and then another pod was like 16 to 18 years old. And so I started out just investing in, I was already doing a little bit in youth ministry, and so we started going into the 13 to 15 age pod. And so, of course, you know, we were walking in there, and I don't know if you've ever been in a youth detention center or a prison, but it's a little intimidating, right? Like, what's going on here? But I knew their ages, and so we had a particular Bible study ready that we were just going to read through it. And at that time, you know, I would spend hours like, okay, we're doing this scripture. I'm going to go back and I'm just going to read it. Anything I can say, I'm just going to kind of chime in there. And I remember walking in, and we would bring Skittles and different things, like fishers of men, right? Like anybody that wants to come listen, because they didn't force the kids to listen. You just come, make a circle, and anybody that wanted to come, be a part of it, they could, because their cells were in the back of the room. Then they had this big common area there, and it was during their free time that we got to go in. And so every week, especially that younger pod, the older pod, it was a little harder sometimes to get them to come around the circle. But the younger pod, they would come around, and we would share whatever the story. It'd be about 30 minutes, the story, parable, teaching, whatever it may be, interact with them. I loved asking them questions and letting them respond. And as we wrestled and discovered through this, and I remember we shared the gospel, and we did it every single week and shared the gospel. And there were these two kids who were sitting a little on the right side, and this was almost 10 years ago now, but they were sitting on the right side of me. And whenever we finished, we prayed and everybody got up, but these two kids stayed, and they were talking to me and another guy, and they said, you know, you were talking, and I've never heard this before, but I want to give my life to Jesus. I need what you were talking about here today. And these kids are about 14, 15 years old, and so we walked them through what does it mean to give your life to Christ, and we gave them a Bible, gave them scripture, and we prayed together. And I think God etched this in my mind for this reason, to know what the experience. And I remember going down, and we bowed our heads, we prayed. I was guiding them, leading them through this prayer. And even then, I remember being terrified, like, oh God, I almost screw this up, right? Like, but God's like, I'm empowering you. I'm doing, the prayer doesn't save them. It's my grace that saves them. I am the one. I just need to see their heart posture. I need to see that they're making that decision. And so we fumbled through this prayer. And I remember the first time he looked up and he opened his eyes. And the 15-year-old kid had tears in his eyes, and he's talking about, and he's thanking me, and we hugged through that moment. This was pre-COVID, so we were hugging, and I remember walking away thinking, God, I want to give the rest of my life to this. Seeing somebody's life changed by Jesus, where God saw that kid and said, I want to do something in you. God is not going to force his way upon us. He gives us that choice, but if you will receive me. And he opened up and gave this kid a chance. His name was Timothy. And we would go back and I would interact with him. And I got a couple of notes that I like to save that he wrote from the prison cell and just the connection. And then he got out and I haven't been in contact with him then. But just for that moment, I remember thinking, wow, God, this is incredible. At the time, I was a fourth grade school teacher. But yet I was an ambassador for the King. Last week, and I don't share these stories because I hope you don't like, oh, Dan's trying to think he's real cool because all these, but just the amazing calling that every one of us in this room or listening online have the opportunity to be a part of. About 3 weeks ago, I talked to a couple who are 80 years old on the phone, and they said, I'm ready to give my life to Jesus. 80 years old. And said, they were kind of disconnected, live out on a farm. And they said, I'm ready to give my life to Christ. And I wrestled through this as a kid, but then I never really made the decision. But now me and my wife, so I walked them through, what does that look like? And we prayed together. And I remember it was kind of funny because I was praying, but he was praying. And he was like, wait, let my wife pray too. You know, so it was coming in. It was just very informal. And then when he walked up, and I remember when we got done praying, he said, oh, it's weird. I feel this peace. And that was his description. I just feel this peace that I can rest in that. And I got to share. I was like, yes, that's God. That's what Jesus offers. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And every time you and I, if you're listening online, God is calling you into this lifestyle. That at any moment, I hope that you don't carry this guilt of, I got to go to work and I got to share about Jesus. If you do, that's awesome. Like, do it, right? Like, but know that God's going to work through you. Just be ready, open, available. Not to come and you have to force your way in, because Jesus didn't do that with us, right? We don't have to force and pry and hold somebody down. You need to know, right? But yet we're open, because God is always working. We need to look for a heart that is ready to receive that God is working. And all of a sudden, if we're open and available to it, God begins to work in it through our lives. And we're going to spend the next few weeks just equipping and walking together of going, how do we notice where God is working? How do we see that? Then what do we do? What do we say? All these things. And so we're going to be walking together in that over the next few weeks. I encourage you. But today, my question is, are you ready? Are you available? I'm telling you, that word available, God can do so. Ooh, he can do something with available. He can do something with God. My yes is already on the table. I got to go to work today, God. You know I got to pay the bills. You know this, but my yes is on the table today, God. I'm available. Like, today is your day, God. Today is your day, Jesus. This is your week. If you need me, I have plans. I got, like, type A. I got my list, right? My checklist is ready to go. But God, if you want to do something, you have my yes. You have my available. And that's my prayer, is that we would say, God, my yes is on the table. And if you've never given your life to Jesus before, maybe you're in this room or listening online. If you're listening online, we have a link that'll walk you through all of that. But I'd love just to pray with you today. If you've never given your life before with Jesus, but let's pray together. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you've never done that before, you can repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I know that I'm disconnected from you. God, I know that I have chosen sin in my life. But God, I ask that you save me. God, I ask that you change me and walk with me, God. If you prayed that prayer, I'd love to have a conversation with you. I'd love to help you take the next steps. If you're online, follow that link. We'd love to connect with you. Let's pray together as a church. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word, your truth, your power, your grace. Thank you, God, for giving us a new identity in you. Thank you for calling us, God, that you have this mission. You have this plan. God, we know that your sovereign plan will play out. But I pray that our position is that we want to be a part of it, God. Use us for your glory, God. I pray that you would empower us. I pray that you would remind us that we are your ambassadors, God, for the kingdom of God. There is no higher calling. And I pray that we rest in that fact, Jesus. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this chance to be together. We love you and ask this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and
thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.